internet. Happy Monday. You are listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Sarah Affampato, also host of Locked On Los Angeles Kings, bringing you the latest and greatest news all across the NHL. We're taking a dive into the world of hockey and how it's been intersecting with current events across the United States and the world. On today's show, we've got some excerpts from two recent shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. First, we have Chris Maselli, who is host of Locked On Avalanche. He had a frequent listener slash fan slash friend of the show named Harry on his program to talk about being a fan of color of the NHL and to get some instant reactions to the NHL players all agreeing to stop play in solidarity with all of the other sports leagues that also went on strike or otherwise paused play in response to the most recent protests in regards to police brutality. So they had a pretty good conversation about that. And then later in the show, we have three Locked On hosts. We have Jared Ellis from Locked On Hurricanes, Jason Hernandez from Locked On Ducks, and Trey Matthews from Locked On Devils. All three of them got together to record a little bit of a roundtable conversation between the three of them, again, in regards to the player-led movement to pause play in the league in the middle of the playoffs. So we're going to hear from both of those shows coming up today. Again, I think this is a really important topic, and lots of our other shows on the network have covered this as well. So if you have a favorite team, if you have not yet found their Locked On podcast show, if you just want to kind of take a scroll through the network, please go ahead and look up, you know, your favorite Locked On Flyers, Locked On Canadians. So many teams have been covering this, and I think that it's really important to hear from a diverse slate of voices all tackling this issue. So lots of Locked On shows are talking about this really crucial issue, and I really encourage you to go out and give them all a listen, not just the ones that I'm highlighting on today's show. I do want to give a little bit of an update on the playoffs, though, because as we speak, all four remaining series are stuck at 3-1. So later today on Monday, Boston and Tampa Bay play. Tampa Bay leads that series 3-1. Dallas and Colorado play as well this evening. Dallas is up 3-1, which I think is maybe the biggest shock out of all of these four remaining series. Tomorrow, Tuesday, the Islanders and the Flyers play at 7 p.m. Eastern. New York Islanders lead that series 3-1. And then Vegas and Vancouver end the evening. Vegas is up 3-1. So far we've had no sweeps outside of the qualification round. We've had no game sevens. And right now, it could very easily be that by tomorrow night, we're going to know which teams are playing in the conference finals. So as opposed to the initial projections, which had the Stanley Cup being awarded in October, we could very easily get this done by the end of September if things continue to move along with the same amount of speed that they have been moving with. So everything about the playoffs has been just really unexpected. I feel like, you know, what I made predictions on my own show, and they right now are looking to be almost entirely wrong based on the teams that are up 3-1. But I take a little comfort in the fact that when you even looked at like the statistical models and the like hockey pundits on television and stuff, that like I'm wrong right alongside them, and that we're getting some surprising hockey, which I think makes this even more interesting, that we're seeing teams emerge that weren't expected to get this far, that weren't expected to get to the next level, and yet here we are with all four series on the brink of elimination. We of course have excellent hosts talking about all of those teams. So if you have not yet already, go check out all of them, really. If you're a Western Conference fan, Eastern Conference fan, whoever, each of these hosts are doing great jobs passionately talking about their teams, making the case for the playoffs, making the case for the teams that are down in their series to mount a tremendous comeback. I think that there is no time better than right now than to jump on a bandwagon than to start to learn about all of these teams in the playoffs. And we have great, great hosts all across the Locked On Podcast Network covering all those teams. So do yourself a favor, go listen to Locked On Bruins, Locked On Avalanche, Locked On Flyers, Locked On Golden Knights. All of those teams, all of those hosts are doing a great job getting people excited, or in some cases, preparing for the worst for the outcomes of their games. So we're entering into a weird, exciting time in hockey when we could know very soon who is that much closer to the Stanley Cup. Now that we've taken a quick look at the state of the playoffs, we're going to jump right into it with a conversation from Locked On Avalanche. But before we do that, I want to tell you all about Built Bar. I had one this morning because I didn't feel like making food or dealing with the kitchen or having to wash dishes or anything. So I had a peanut butter brownie flavored Built Bar, and it was perfection. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. And after a quick break to restock and to invent some new flavors, Built Bar is back with 6 new flavors, including cookies and cream, carrot cake, caramel brownie, and more. The thing I love most about Built Bar, aside from the fact that it really truly does taste like a candy bar and not like something healthy, is that they are just so quick and easy to eat. I just kind of keep them around in the box that they came in and grab one whenever I need one, and then I know that I'm going to have a delicious treat that is going to give me energy and is also going to be good for me. Now, they are low in calories, they have low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. If you're someone who's on the keto diet, it is great for that. And Built Bars are great whether you're someone who runs marathons or you're someone like me who mostly just walks to her car and back every so often. No matter who you are, no matter what flavors you like, Built Bar has something for you. So go right now to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Again, that is promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. I wanted to use today's show to highlight some of the important conversations that are happening across the Locked On NHL network. And so today we have an excerpt from a recent Locked On Avalanche show featuring host Chris Maselli talking with Hari, who is a hockey fan of color, who is a longtime listener slash friend of the show to Locked On Avalanche. And the two of them sat down together to talk about all of the world's current events. So what you're going to hear right now is some excerpts from their full conversation, which aired on Locked On Avalanche.
Like, obviously, I'm a person of color. I'm East Indian American. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly lefty in my politics. Right. I pretty much always have to confront politics that I don't like watching sports. So when people say, like, keep the politics out of sports, I'm like, yeah, it's always been in sports. Yeah. It's just not the politics that you object to.
Right.
You know, I've been dealing with it all this time, so I'm not shedding tears for anybody who has to deal with it now.
Yeah. But why is it that sports has to remove politics from that profession? Why is it okay for music to have politics involved in them? Why is it okay for like Hollywood and, you know, actors and actresses to bring up political stuff, but sports guys are just shut, you know, the phrase shut up and play basketball?
I feel like it's been a myth that, like I just said, it's always been part of sports. And people tend to be like, they're fine with their politics being in the media that they appreciate, but they'll object to it when there's something they disagree with. You know, that can happen on both ends of the political spectrum, but, you know, I can assure you that, like, I've always had to engage with politics. I don't like watching sports, so it's always been there. For people on certain end of the spectrum, we haven't had to deal with politics that they disagree with too much, and so it may be a new thing for them, so now they're complaining about it. I mean, this stuff has really been weighing heavily on me. Like, when it comes to sports, like, when sports returned, honestly, I was already so feeling so like down about everything. We didn't even talk about COVID. Right. That's just piling up on everything that I was kind of welcoming sports as a respite, just something that I can focus on to keep my mind off of everything. And
sure,
the Avs especially were playing well. And I remember when that first round robin game with St. Louis, not a score but 0.1 right. seconds. I actually felt really exhilarated and good for the first time in months. You know, that was welcome. And then, so this week happened, it started with the Milwaukee Bucks boycotting their game. And of course, they're a Wisconsin team. And it led to this kind of chain reaction to where a lot of other sports leagues, WNBA.
And did that bother you that the NHL didn't react quicker or quick enough?
It's not, I mean, I don't know that the speed of the reaction is what bothered me, but like the way that they reacted did bother me. Specifically, the moment of reflection, there was like a 27 second moment of silence. I didn't even watch the whole video. Like, they said, you know, we wish the family of Jacob Blake well. And it's kind of a classically tone-deaf reaction from the intro. Like, for me, being a longtime fan of hockey, but having to kind of deal with these tone-deaf aspects of it, especially when it comes to racism and certain aspects of the hockey culture, you know, it did kind of feel like the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, I didn't necessarily expect them to stop playing, although I think it would have been the right move just for, like, you know, eventually they did.
Yeah.
But it would have been better if they had done it yesterday, if they had been able to kind of read the situation and say, like, you know what, we're going to stand in solidarity with, you know, the NBA players, sure, and other sport leagues that have stopped playing. I feel like the NHL often has wanted to toe this line because there's a perception of hockey that it's kind of this kind of redneck sport.
Sure. Well, yeah. And even you saying, like, you're a hockey fan, that might come as, like, you know, shock number one to somebody. And then you start, we have not had many conversations about hockey itself, but the few that we've had, you seem, like, knowledgeable on the sport. And then that must be like, oh my God, and you know about, like, certain, you know, aspects of the game. And it's like, well, why wouldn't, why, just, you're going off of literally the guy's color of his skin to say, number one, I'm surprised you like hockey, and number two, you know about it. Like, you know what icing is and what forward is. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, why? But that's where the mentality comes from.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's both, like, part of the hockey culture and part of the outside perception of hockey. And neither of which I think is good for the sport. You know, everybody who is involved in this sport should be motivated to change this because, first of all, you know, we're in uncertain times. Who knows what's going to happen with sports in the near future?
Right.
Hockey needs to be bringing in as many new fans as possible. You know, some of this messaging that, you know, they've kind of failed with recently, especially yesterday when they put out this perception that, and I do think that the NHL doesn't want to offend their kind of hardcore fan base, which doesn't want to address this racism and maybe likes that it's a mostly white sport, you know, but at the same time, they want to include, you know, people of color and women and be more inclusive. But, you know, it doesn't really work like that.
Like, this will have more of a meaningful impact if the conversation, the dialogue, and you see things happening beyond this. If it's just back to normal, business as usual, this won't have staying power whatsoever, but it's the people above us where it needs to happen. And it just seems like it doesn't happen at all. They just let the cycle go. And then when it comes back around again, they just wait it out.
You know, I don't know what the right answer is. All I know is that I hope that eventually things change.
Will people listen to them? Because they, you know, they are predominantly white sport? Or do you think that, and I say, will they listen to them as will they not listen to them? Or does that make their voice even that much, it can be that much more powerful because they are a predominantly white sport and they are getting behind all of these movements and standing with the other sports and taking a day or two off?
You know, they can reach people who would not be reached in a different way. So in that sense, anything that they can do, I support. I often do, like, I don't really feel like a lot of the white hockey players have the tools to effectively address these issues.
That's true. That is true.
Because they came up in a culture where they don't have those tools. So one thing I would like to see, you know, and hockey has to change. They have to become a more inclusive culture. I mean, a lot of people are expecting them to have better answers.
Right.
And I don't know if it's just because I'm older. It's almost impossible for me to have any expectations for these white hockey players to answer these questions. So I'm glad, you know, when Ryan Clark asks these questions, I think he should. But at the same time, I kind of cringe because I know that they're going to stumble on these answers.
I know.
Thank you to Chris and his guest Hari for letting me share some of their conversation on the Locked On NHL show. If you want to hear more from them, do go check out Locked On Avalanche. I'll also throw up a link to this on the Locked On NHL Twitter account in case you want to find a nice, quick, easy link to click. That is Locked On NHL Pods is where you can find it. But go look up Locked On Avalanche and scroll back a couple days and you can hear this conversation in full on Locked On Avalanche with Chris and Hari. Coming up next, we have Jared Ellis from Locked On Hurricanes, Jason Hernandez from Locked On Ducks, and Trey Matthews from Locked On Devils, all talking about current events and the way the NHL has responded. We finish out our show today with a little bit of a roundtable discussion from Jared Ellis from Locked On Hurricanes, Jason Hernandez from Locked On Ducks, and Trey Matthews from Locked On Devils. All three of those guys got together last week to have a little bit of a discussion about the way the NHL was responding to current events, the fact that the NHL players decided to sit out games and essentially put the whole league on pause in solidarity with the NBA and all the other sports leagues that were doing the same. So this is just an excerpt from their conversation on Locked On Hurricanes.
There were questions yesterday from different media people saying the only reason this happened so fast is because it's the Milwaukee Bucks. Well, it shouldn't just be about that. There's so much nastiness going on outside of sports that it needs to be mentioned. And I'm glad that the NBA took the initiative to be the first sport to say, you know what, we're not going to have games today. As far as the NHL is concerned, might it be a day late, a dollar short? I'm still unsure about that. I'm glad the NHL is trying to do something, and I'm glad that some players are speaking out about it. So I guess yeah. I should be happy, question mark, kind of. Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at the moment, just for now.
Where I'm stuck at is kind of neutral because, you know, when this all transpired, when this all happened, I was stunned. I didn't expect any of this to, you know, occur. So we hear that the Milwaukee Bucks are, I wouldn't say boycott. I'm not going to say boycott because they're not boycotting the NBA because the NBA has done well to them. Like, this is more of a strike. This is more of to bring awareness. So, you know, when we get the news that all this is occurring, but the very next day, like, which is today at the time of this recording, the NBA is going to resume. And now, you know, sports are going to resume very soon. My question is where do you go from here? Because, like, okay, you just did something performative. You got people's attention. But my question is like, what do you plan to go from here?
I agree. I would definitely would hope that all these leagues have a plan in place for when they start to play again of how are you going to continue making this issue forefront in the consciousness of the people watching. Because obviously we spoke about the NBA postponing all their stuff. The MLB has postponed games as well. MLS, Major League Soccer has. WNBA has. I saw something about tennis as well. And obviously today, a day late, but the NHL as well postponing the games that were supposed to take place tonight on Thursday, as well as Friday's games as well, getting postponed. I definitely hope that these leagues, and not necessarily the leagues, but the players have a plan in place of how they're going to continue this. Because especially with the NBA, it was not the league's decision to postpone these games. The players took that into their own hands, you know, with the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, being the first team to do so. Yeah, I know there was a little bit of talk today about the NHL postponing their stuff, of it being the league deciding to do it, but I did see some stuff earlier, shortly before we started playing, where it was the players' decision to postpone the games. Kadri from the Avs being one in particular that said it was the player's choice.
Right. The thing is, we don't want to peer pressure people into doing something. That's one of the issues I had.
I agree.
Before, like, you know, kneel for hockey, like hockey players should kneel. I'm like, wait a minute. Are you don't peer pressure them into doing it. Like I said, like, you know, I prefer action more than being performative, because you got some people who are just kneeling for the anthem. You got some people who are posting black screens to their Instagram page, you know, Blackout Tuesday, that kind of thing that happened earlier in the summer. And, you know, you got people changing their Facebook profiles to, like, you know, Black Lives Matter kind of thing. And also I saw the NHL doing We Skate for Black Lives. And I'm just like, okay, that's good, but that's all performative. At the end of the day, what good does it do? So I prefer action. Like one of our guys, PK Subban, he donated $50,000 to George Floyd's daughter's GoFundMe page, and he told the NHL, and the NHL matched that. See, that goes a much longer way than, you know, being performative and versus, you know, like kneeling and things like that. I have no problem with it, but I just say, make sure you put in the work behind the scenes. That's why I've been saying on my show is like, you know, don't, you know, the performative is, you know, doing that is nice. But remember, there are a few other things that will go a much longer way.
I do agree there. I mean, that age old adage of actions speak louder than words. It's all well and good to have all these words plastered everywhere, putting whatever on your social media. But if you're not actually actively doing something about it, then it's just a hollow statement of what you're saying. There's no meaning behind it.
That's how I kind of felt about some of the other actions that took place earlier in the playoffs. There was some praise. There was a lot of praise for Matt Dumba kneeling down and having that impassioned speech before an earlier playoff game, which I thought was a great speech.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Matt Dumba.
Yeah, I remember watching that.
Right. He got a lot of hate on it. Like, if you look at the YouTube video, I think there's more dislikes to likes ratio on it, which, you know, I don't know. I guess people just want players to just shut up and just play the game. But, you know, like I said, yeah, you can't take politics out of sports, because at the end of the day, these are people. But go ahead, Jason. What were you saying?
That's exactly what I was going to say. And thank you for saying that instead of me. Look, the NHL is a little bit political, like every sport. You know, when it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever. The outside world is going to come in sometimes. That's just how it happens. You can't just ignore the outside world and tune out to whatever is going on in our world, whether it is a natural disaster or whether it is something social. The outside world is the outside world. It has to come in. As far as what the NHL has done, yeah, it's shameful that there were so many more negative comments than there were positive comments. But we have to have the positive comments speak louder than the hate, than all these negative people saying, keep politics out of our sports, we're never going to watch hockey again. Well, if that's the case, we don't want you. We don't want those kind of fans.
Yeah, I was about to say, if that's the case, you can just fuck off. I'd rather have people that care about one another, that whole hockey is for everyone campaign that they do, have it mean something that it means is for every single person, that every single person is going to be welcome.
Thanks again to Jared, Jason, and Trey for letting me share their conversation here on Locked On NHL. If you'd like to hear the whole conversation in full, it is available on Locked On Hurricanes. I will also throw the link up to this on the Locked On NHL Twitter so you can find it more easily. Locked On NHL Pods is the account. They have a great conversation, so please do yourself a favor and go check out the whole show. That is it for us here today on Locked On NHL. If you want to hear more from me, you can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. You can find this show on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. We've been sharing a lot of great content there, highlighting all of our hosts across the network and spotlighting some great episodes that have been airing as we head towards a whole bunch of elimination games over the next couple days. If you like what you're hearing here, make sure you're subscribed to the show. We're available wherever podcasts are found. And of course, tell a friend all about it. If you've got a hockey fan in your life, make sure they know all about this show. Until next time, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.